And unsurpassed, penetrating, and perfect Dharma is rarely met with even in 100,000 million kalpas. Adding it to see and listen to remember and accept, I vow to taste the truth of the Tathagata's words.
Good morning. Nice to have you here. I got a phone call from Ann Sakaguchi, and she's recovering from her surgery, and I really appreciated Ann Sakaguchi really appreciated the cards and notes that Sangha sent her. So really helpful for her. Let's see, next week we'll be doing our yearly, we do two retreats, longer retreats. So I think I'm not going, for a number of reasons, what I'm going to, I don't think we'll have Sangha. We won't meet here, because we're going to be doing a retreat. Most people are going to be doing the retreat at St. Dorothy's. So is there anybody that could come down and put a note on the door that we won't have Sangha?
Actually,
can you do that?
Yes.
You sorry? Okay, yeah. Thanks. And I think also Christmas falls on Sunday this year. So I think we won't have, we'll just give it over to Christ this year. So I'll remind you about that. So I wanted to continue our discussion. Remember last week we had the Methodist kids here last week. And I was trying to find a slogan to give them, you know, that they could work with. So I thought a good one for Thanksgiving, I hope you all had a nice Thanksgiving, was be grateful to everyone. Reflect on the benefit that befalls you, or reflect on the benefit that others give you. That was the, I thought they could kind of relate to that slogan rather than, you know, maybe relate. Regard all dharmas as dreams. I thought that may be a little harder for them to wrap themselves around. But, you know, be grateful for everyone. Be grateful for everything in your life. You know, that's a way to extend that. So I asked you to think about that a little bit, maybe this week. And maybe you did, and I'm going to try to end a little early. Maybe we can talk to each other about that, what came up for you during Thanksgiving. And maybe two sides of that came up. One side is just how incredibly supportive the universe is of us. And the other side is when a bunch of family come together in any gathering, sometimes there's tensions that happen. And how are we grateful for that? You know, so that's actually the other side of that particular slogan. So I wanted to talk about both those parts. And we have a ritual in our family. We have about 22 people, and we go around before, you know, the turkey's done, and everyone just says a couple sentences about what they've been grateful for in their life right now. So it was kind of nice. I mean, some people said, wow, isn't it just amazing how incredibly beautiful the foliage is this fall? Just grapevines and everything, just so beautiful to live in Sonoma County. So that kind of gratitude, just so much to be appreciative of. And I don't know, did some of you happen to notice the article? And there was a whole front page thing in the Press Democrats on gratitude, practicing gratitude. Did anybody read that one? You know, it was a couple of days before Thanksgiving, and it was very sweet. It started off, and it said, "You'll live longer. The more gratitude you have in your life, the more that it's good for you." Statistics show, as it does with meditation. People that meditate, it works. Your ticker works better, and less anxiety, and the same with gratitude. Practicing gratitude in your life. It really works. And they even had some practice. They said, you should really... And they interviewed some people, like, what's your gratitude practice? And they said, well, we keep a gratitude journal You know, I write down every night five things in my little gratitude journal, or our kids sit down, you know, before we go to bed at night, and we say three things. And so just to really kind of exercise that gratitude muscle, which is what the slogan is encouraging us to do. And in one end, when we, you know, in Zen and Mahayana Buddhism, we talk about these, you know, fancy terms like emptiness. And again, I've encouraged you to think about emptiness. You know, you could substitute the word fullness for emptiness. Instead of emptiness meaning void, it's like it means fullness. So when you're practicing gratitude and you're going around bowing to everything, like, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being here. You know? Thank you, Turkey, for giving up your life. You know, thank you. Beautiful day. Or thank you, rain. Or you're just going around bowing in a sense of thank you, thank you. That's really practicing emptiness, because you're practicing the fullness of the support. As Dogen says, all things advance forward. When our mind, our small mind recedes a little bit, and we're not so preoccupied with our own needs and wants, then we're more alert to how the world advances forward. So that's what the slogan is trying to encourage us to do, is to practice fullness through a sense of gratitude. A very positive way to look at it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Right. So, that's important. And I noticed that in that article, they went ahead and gave a few life stories of people about why they were grateful. And one person was grew up in East Germany, and how, you know, many times they would go to bed at night hungry, and you know what, how much gratitude she has just for how bountiful life is. And there were four or five other examples, and some of the examples were people that had adversity, had sickness in their family, and how that had really opened them to the gratitude of support they've had. And I, you know, I was the first one in the circle, and my sister was there. She's just finished her second round of chemo. And, you know, things aren't long, maybe there'll be a miracle, but long-term prognosis, I know, because I used to be in healthcare. It's not good. And, but I just had such an, I was sensing in her, and she's in, it's not an easy situation. She's got a lot of nerve damage, and she's in pain, pretty much constant pain. And, but the part of my sister that's kind of has a tendency towards being frivolous, or always moving towards the next adventure, you know, more stimulation, a lot of that is just falling away. Mm-hmm. But she's very restricted in terms of what she can do. She may actually not be able to walk well for the rest of her life. Mm-hmm. Who is a person who was an athlete a year ago, is like a triathlete. Huge losses in her life. But there's a certain honesty and a really deep sense of gratitude that I was feeling from her for the first time. Like all this frivolity, she just dropped down to a different level. And so I felt a lot of sadness in some ways, but a lot of just something deeply spiritual has happened through working with, you know, she feels all the support of all her friends. And it's a tremendous gift. I mean, her heart has kind of opened her heart up. And I felt that. As people in the circle were aging, and I knew there were some physical problems with people in the group that weren't present 10 years ago. And people, there was a certain poignancy. People were beginning to hold each other with a sense that, well, things are changing. We're not just taking the circle for granted. And so that's about what, you know, what that slogan, partially what that slogan is about. But what that slogan also is about is be grateful to everyone. So the other side of that really does mean that. It means be grateful to everyone, not just people that are nice to you, you know, and bring you meals when you're sick. It means be grateful for everyone. So we know that these slogans are coming from Tisha's, you know, the 13th century Tibetan teacher, actually Indian teacher that went to Tibet, and his encouragement to take everything in life as part of your practice. And so this is kind of a positive way to frame that, you know. Be grateful for everyone in your life. Be grateful for everyone in your life. So I saw a couple of movies. One movie was this French movie called Queen to Play. And Queen to Play was like based, it took place in Corsica. It was a French movie with Klein, who's the American movie actor? Who?
Kevin
Klein. So Kevin Klein, you ever seen that movie? Kevin Klein, it's kind of obscure. One of these little movies you have to kind of hunt for in the video store. You know? And so he's this doctor, American doctor, whose wife has died, who has sequestered himself away. Like, life is just beginning to shut down on him. He's not so interested in dealing with all the bullshit of life. And so he's kind of shut down. And his housekeeper is actually also shutting down a little bit because she's bored with her job as being a housekeeper. Her husband isn't, they're not as engaged as they should be in their relationship, and she's shutting down a little bit. But somehow she discovers, she's watching somebody and she discovers chess. And she takes an interest in chess, and somehow she engages this doctor in teaching her how to play chess. It turns out the whole island of Corsica they teach chess is like one of the main things in school. All the kids are totally engaged in learning chess. And I thought, you know, wasn't that where Napoleon was from? Was Corsica?
Yeah.
I think it was, right? You know, I think there may be something about the temperament, the way they kind of deal with their sort of, you know, aggression at a certain level. But so she wakes this person up. You know, she wakes this doctor up who's beginning to shut down from life. And what this slogan is trying to tell us is it's trying to tell us that not to shut down, to not take the difficult things in our life and push them away, but to actually welcome them. That's what the slogan is saying. Be grateful to everyone regardless of how they're interacting with us. And one of the Tibetan teachers is saying here, he says, all our past history and all our neurosis is related with others in some sense. All of our experience is based on others. So all of our neurosis, all of our anger and irritation, all has been wrapped up. It's been conditioned by our response with other people. And so the way we unpack this is in relationship with other people. This is a kind of a very brilliant psychological insight that people came to, you know, in the 13th century and before that. You know, the Buddha really came to. There's an American psychologist, Murray Bowen, who started Family Systems. And what Murray used to say is if you have a difficulty in your family, it's better. What you want to do is you want to cut yourself off from your family. Often, and I, as a therapist, often run across that. You have a difficult mother or father or siblings. It's just much easier to just push them out of your life and cut yourself off because every time you're with them during Thanksgiving dinner, things get stirred up, right? So let's just not invite them. Let's just close down. Let's go into our house like the doctor did and just pull the shades down and make it safe. We have a strong tendency to want to do that. What the slogan is saying is don't do that. It's saying don't do that. And that's what Murray Bowen said. He says don't do emotional cutoff. It's much better if you stay in relationship with people. It doesn't mean you have to invite them in to move in and stay. It doesn't mean that. It just means visit them for 2 days, experience the difficulty, and cultivate your sense of patience and equanimity and assertiveness and setting appropriate boundaries. It's only in being in relationship that you actually work through these things. This is actually what the slogan is actually saying. So we begin to see people, you know, you begin to relate to people not as people that are necessarily hostile, and that are making our life difficult, but we begin to relate to them as something, as an opportunity. Because actually, without people like this, we don't get appropriate feedback in our life. We don't have anything to work with. That actually the path doesn't exist without people that make life messy for us. And if we begin to reframe this in a certain way, it makes all the difference in the world. And this is true about all aspects of the path. So when we're sitting, we're going to be coming up on our meditation retreat for 2 days. And so people go, and there's one part of you when you go to a meditation retreat that has some trepidation, because you know you're going to be sitting from 6 o'clock in the morning until, you know, with some breaks in the afternoon, but you're going to experience some difficulties. You experience a little pain, a little bit like when people run a marathon. They know there's going to be some pain involved before the endorphins get released, right? Well, this is true in meditation retreats. But actually, without the aches and pains in our body, we don't progress in meditation. It's working with the pains and aches in our body is how we learn about how the mind works and how it reacts to difficulties. You know, without that, if everything was, Suki Roshi used to say, if you don't have some difficulty in your sitting, you got a big problem. It's because everything is just kind of like bland. It doesn't, nothing happens. You're not working with some active material. So this slogan, which is a very kind of sweet slogan on one half, you know, just be grateful to everybody. Cultivate this heart of gratitude, which in, you know, the article in the Press Democrat was trying to encourage the kind of sweet part of it. You know, just go around and just be, oh, thank you for all the wonderful things you're giving me. But again, the other side of the slogan is, no. Remember, this is, in the Atisha's teaching, there are different categories. And the first category is do the preliminaries. Do your meditation, develop a sense of equanimity and openness. The second one is Tonglin. Begin to develop the capacity to take in difficulties and then send back, work with that, send back what the antidote is. And then the third category out of the seven is take the difficulties of life and turn them into the path. And so this particular slogan comes under the third category. Be grateful to everybody. Everybody. And it goes along with the slogan, which is the hardest for most people, but is the catchiest one, which is drive all blames into one. Both these slogans actually kind of go together. And again, what brought, you know, drive all blames into one slogan doesn't mean, again, that you blame yourself. It means that you empower yourself, that you have the ability to deal with this difficult person and situation through the capacity of working with your own sense of mindfulness and how the mind operates. You can adjust your attitude. That's why Wallace's book, who wrote one of the texts we're using in here, is Alan Wallace. The name of his book is Buddhism with an Attitude. It means that change your attitude. What these points are about is about changing your attitude towards things. And you all know that that's true. You can go from feeling pretty contracted in a situation and angry to a situation where it actually works for you. So, so you begin to see people, again, not as somebody there to kind of hustle us or, you know, to irritate us, but as somebody who's there to kind of help us. So when things don't quite go our way, when we experience some irritation in our life and some frustration in our life, there's a little part of this, a little part of our practice that says, okay, how can I begin to work with this situation? And the reason why we're doing this, you know, like, again, drive all blames into one and be grateful to everybody. It isn't about getting down on ourselves or it's my fault. That's not the spirit. That's not the whole spirit of this. The spirit is we just try to go through life. We try to be kind to people, you know. We try to be kind. And then when difficult situations come to us, we have a tool to work with them. We begin to, instead of being crushed by them, we say, oh, here's kind of an opportunity. You know, it isn't like where we just fall on the sword and say, oh, this is just my fault. You know, that's not the attitude. And there's another slogan that actually goes with these two slogans, which is, don't show off, is where it's roughly translated. It means don't go out of your way to create difficult situations. And if you do, don't brag about it. In other words, you know, that person, I did this deliberately. I went out of my way to find people that were difficult, and they were difficult, and I was really cool, and I didn't lose my patience. So that last slogan is, don't do that. Don't worry. Life will present difficult situations to you. You don't really have to go out of your way to, encourage that situation. Just be kind. Be alert. But when situations come, you can have a sense that you can start to work with this a little bit. Because the whole thing is about lightening up. You know, it isn't about, oh, me, it's my fault. I should really take this on. No. It's about, how can I hold the situation with a little lighter attitude about the whole thing? It's a sense more of like, it isn't as big a deal as I want to make it. You know, or an aspect is, it's temporary. It's going to come and go. I can work with this. Everything is workable. I can work with this, no matter how difficult it seems. So it assumes, we go back to the first point, which is study the preliminaries. And the preliminaries are that you have to develop some capacity to work with your state of mind, to know how your mind operates, how it tends to contract, when it tends to contract, what makes it contract, and that you actually can work with that, those states of mind. You're not locked into it. You know, it's like, this is the way it is, it's always going to be this way, and I'm absolutely right. No, I can change this. I can work with this. Maybe I just have to do Tong Lin with it. You know, maybe I just have to breathe in and feel this. Ooh, anger, irritation. Ooh, ooh. Okay, what can I give myself? Oh, lighten up, lighten up. Or just like love, appreciation. That's why I'm so angry, is because this person is taking advantage of me. So maybe I can just give it to myself. Love, appreciation, begin to lighten up. So you develop capacity. And the other is that you have some capacity and understanding about emptiness, which comes through our meditation practice, about the ephemeralness of our experience. About, the first slogan was, regard all dharmas as dreams and be a child of illusion, which means that these states of mind that come aren't as dense as they seem. In our meditation practice, we practice letting them go, feeling them, letting them go. Maybe we can only let them go a little bit. Maybe we got to struggle with them, you know, for 5 minutes or 10 minutes before we let them go. But we begin to see we have a capacity to let them go. So that's what that means. It's more like smoke rather than a block of concrete. Our thoughts are more like smoke than a block of concrete. Good. So why don't we break into groups for a few minutes? How about groups of threes? And just say something about gratitude. Either side. You know, just like things that you bow to, things that came to you, things that brightened your day and made you feel very supportive. Or the other part where, ooh, this was a challenge. You know, this is difficult. I don't want to be grateful for this, but it's making me stronger in some ways. It's making me wiser. Either part of that, of the slogan. Okay? So just grab, try to find maybe somebody you don't know. Okay. Two people. I'll ring a bell. Three. Remember, here's how we do it. Just let somebody talk for 3 minutes. Don't ask them any questions. I'll ring a bell after 3 minutes. We'll go on to the next person, and then the next person.